Hi, I'm Pastor John with Westside Community Church, and it is Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, and we're still coming to you from video feed. Thank you for joining us today. We have a special Sunday. It's always the first Sunday of the month at Westside Community Church. We observe communion, and so I would encourage you to hit the pause button on your device and go find some bread, a cracker, something, and juice of some sort. Grape juice, preferably, but it doesn't have to be grape. It can be anything like that. And then at the end of our time together, we're going to share in communion. So be blessed and enjoy the singing. Hi. Today our scripture passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17 through the end of the chapter. And it reads like this. In the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, and another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." Thanks be to God for his word. Since the beginning of the church, it was customary for believers to gather together for meals. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayers." And then in verse 46, it says, "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." These meals provided opportunity for fellowship among the early believers, and it was also a time for sharing what they had with the poor. It's believed that somewhere in these fellowship gatherings, there was some sort of mention or a moment to remember that which we now call the Lord's Supper or communion. These fellowship meals came to be known as agape feasts or love feasts. The emphasis was showing love for one another by sharing what one had. These agape feasts were apparently part of the regular gatherings of the church at Corinth, but it didn't take long for some serious problems to arise, and as a result, these meals were doing more harm than good. It seems that cliques or factions were disrupting the common fellowship that was intended to involve the entire church. Interestingly, Paul says that this is actually a good thing because God will use this to show who the genuine believers are versus those who aren't. The root of the problem here is a selfishness. And that's so often the problem in many areas that we find that we struggle with. Think of our typical potluck these days. People will bring in their favorite dishes, their casseroles, their salads, their side dishes. And don't forget the desserts. We gotta have the desserts. And all that food gets put out for everyone to share. That doesn't seem to be the case here in Corinth. It appears that some people are bringing some very fine foods to share with only their friends, the ones in their clique, while others are left out. So at this meal that was supposed to be a celebration of the church's unity that they share in Christ, there's one group of people over here eating steak and fresh salads and those yummy desserts. And then Paul says that some of them are even getting drunk, and while the poor are over here, and they're sharing what little they could scrape together to bring. Maybe a bologna sandwich or two, or something similar. not exactly the picture of church unity, is it? The divisions at the Corinthian dinner table were only a symptom of the larger problem with the believers in that church. They thought that they were mature in Christ and in their faith, but their actions showed really how immature they were. These meals were supposed to be an opportunity for mutual edification, but they had become an embarrassment. When you ignore and cheat others, you're actually ignoring and cheating the unity of the church, the body of Christ. Showing disdain for others is certainly not the way to remember the Savior who died for all sinners, rich, poor, and everything in between. The Lord's Supper had been an important sacrament. The Lord's Supper has been an important sacrament for the Christian church since those early days. Communion, or the Eucharist, as it's called in some of the more liturgical churches, Eucharist is from the Latin for to give thanks. It commemorates the time that Jesus at the Last Supper with his disciples before his arrest, trial, crucifixion, and death. That time when he took the bread and the wine, common everyday meal in those days, and transformed them into a meaningful spiritual experience for believers. As with most things, the value of the experience depends on the condition of the heart of those who participate. And this is where the Corinthian church had troubles. Their hearts weren't right. Paul says we need to prepare our hearts when we come to the Lord's Supper. It's a serious thing to come to the communion table with an unprepared heart or in a careless manner, because the Corinthians had been sinning in their lack of unity at the Lord's Supper. God had disciplined them. Verse 30 says, "That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." How do we prepare our hearts so that the sacrament is the blessing that God intends for it to be? We simply look around us. First thing we do is we look back. Look at verses 23 through 26. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.'" The broken bread reminds us of Christ's body, broken and beaten for us. The cup reminds us of his blood that was shed on the cross. We look back. Look back and remember the sheer torture that our Lord endured for our forgiveness and our restoration. Look back and remember the suffering on our behalf. Christ suffered and died as our substitute. Isaiah 53:6 says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Christ paid the debt we would never be able to pay. We remember how he died. He died willingly, humbly surrendering himself over to wicked men, showing his love for us all. Romans 5:8 tells us that God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we look back and remember what he went through on our behalf. And then we look ahead. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We will observe the Lord's Supper until he comes. The return of Jesus is the hope of the church, the hope of all Christians everywhere. Jesus not only died for us, but he rose again and ascended to heaven and has promised to return to earth in power and in glory to set all things right. Today we are not all that we should be. We're flawed and broken people. Our world is not all that it was created to be. The effects of sin has corrupted the natural world too. And Jesus is returning to correct all of that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "When he appears, we will be like him because we shall see him as he is." So we look back to remember, we look forward and anticipate, and then we look within. Verse 28 in 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." Paul did not say that we had to be worthy to partake in the Lord's Supper. If that were the case, then no one would ever eat the bread or drink of the cup. No, Paul said that we should partake in a worthy manner. This means that we need to examine our hearts, check our motives, confess our sins that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. This is not the time to try to justify yourselves and say, "Oh, if only this person hadn't have done this or said that, well, then I wouldn't have." Yeah, you fill in the blank. You know what you did. This is a time to come to the Lord's Supper, and we can't do that with unconfessed sin in our lives. To do that is to be guilty of Christ's blood and body. It was sin that nailed him to the cross. And if we will not deal with our own sins, then God will deal with us with judgment and with discipline until we do confess and repent of our sins. We're usually very good at recognizing the sin in others' lives, but we fail miserably when it comes to recognizing and turning from our own sins. And when we neglect our sins, we're only fooling ourselves and thinking that God will not deal with us for our unconfessed sins. But Paul says that to do so, we bring judgment upon ourselves. Discipline is God's loving way of dealing with his children to encourage them to mature. It's not like a judge condemning a criminal, but more like a parent teaching and training a child that they love what is right and proper versus what is wrong and unacceptable. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11, tell us that the Lord's discipline proves that he loves us. And in verse 10 it says, "He disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." I strongly encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, to see more about how the Lord disciplines us. So we look back to remember, we look ahead in anticipation, and then we look within to confess, and finally, we look around. Look again here at back in 1 Corinthians 11, look at verses 33 through 34. "So then, my brothers, my sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. How is your attitude toward your fellow believers? Do you only have fellowship with a certain group within your church? Are others not welcome? Are you willing to share what you have with everyone or only with some? Why is that?" Verse 29 tells us to discern the body before we partake. This perhaps has a dual meaning. We should discern his body in the bread we are about to eat, but also in the church around us. After all, the church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." The Lord's Supper should be a demonstration of the unity of the church. But there wasn't much unity in the Corinthian church. In fact, the way they were celebrating the Lord's Supper showed that there was disunity. God desires that his children love one another and care for one another. It's impossible for a true Christian to grow closer to the Lord while at the same time be separated from their fellow believers. How can we remember the Lord's suffering and death and not love one another? 1 John 4, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We're going to sing a song now, a song called Remembrance. And I want you to use this time to look back, remember what God has done through Jesus on the cross. I want you to look forward, to remember that he is coming again and all the promises that he brings with him. Look within. Confess your sins to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you and to cleanse you. And then look around. How's your attitude towards your fellow believers? Is there some things that you need to correct? I pray that you do that now, and then when we come back after the song, we'll partake together apart.
Any
So I hope that you had a chance to get some bread and something to act as the juice of the cup. And we're going to fellowship together through video in the Lord's Supper. We take the bread and we remember the body of our Lord, how it was broken for us. And we give thanks to God for the sins that He has, that the forgiveness of sins and the fellowship that we have with Almighty God through Christ and His work on the cross. We give thanks in His name. Let's take the bread together. And then we take the cup and we remember the blood that was shed, the blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Not just my sins, not just your sins, the sins of the whole world. And we give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for a life that is clean and new in His name. Let's drink together. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for the bread and the cup and all that they represent. I thank You, Lord, for the promise of sins forgiven, for lives made new. I thank You, God, for the restoration that Your Holy Spirit brings us and the unity that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, in this difficult time when we're being asked to stay apart, God, we know that through Your Spirit, You can bind our hearts together in Christian love, and that we can experience the unity of the body because of the Spirit that indwells us. So I thank You and I praise You. I pray, Lord, Your richest blessing upon each one of us who have shared in this meal, that every blessing that You have for us would be ours in Christ. Thank You, God, that You are working. Thank You that You are, Your power is still at work in our world, and that we see Your love and Your grace around us. Thank You, Jesus. We pray this all in Your holy and powerful name. Amen. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again soon. Grace and peace to you.